Genesis chapter 24 this morning. Genesis chapter number 24, and direct your attention there to verse number 67. Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 67. And the Bible says this in verse number 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach to you just on this thought, the three steps of love. The three steps of love. You know, it's been now, January here, we will have been in pastoral ministry for 9 years, 10 years, something like that. And we have had our fair share of those that have sat across the room from us, married couples or those dating or contemplating marriage or whatever the case may be. And I've had part of several pastor groups on Facebook that the purpose is to, as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, to bounce ideas off of one another, get advice, that sort of thing. And a lot of pastors have said this, that they have heard the following statement as they sit across from married couples, those dating and so forth, that, well, I'm leaving my husband, I'm leaving my wife, I just don't love him, I just don't love her anymore. Basically, when they say anymore, what they really mean is I don't love them any longer. And, you know, to say you don't love your spouse anymore is an admission that, well, at one time in that relationship, you did love them. And what did you do back then when you loved your spouse? Well, you didn't want them to just think that you love them. You set out to prove that you love them. You set out to do things to show them that they were, in fact, love. And the choice was made to love. And once that choice to love was made, that led to a conscientious commitment to prove or to show your love. And the commitment followed the choice. But then somewhere, you know, in the journey of married life, you know, you stop trying to prove your love for one another and you just started taking it for granted. And most times that happens on both sides. And then one day you think, well, my soul, what has happened to our marriage? Why don't I love him like I used to? And, well, you forgot what you did in the beginning. And there was a time when you did anything and everything to prove your love. That's what I want to talk to us today about, the three steps of love: the choice to love, the commitment to love, and the comfort of love. Comfort, of course, and we see that here in verse 67, at the end of verse 67, the Bible says, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so comfort is what we feel after or when we know that we are loved by someone, whether it be our spouse, a friend, a family member, whatever the case may be. When we know that we're loved by somebody, it brings us comfort. And we need to be careful about getting the order of that reverse, because when you base love on feeling, then that relationship, no matter what the relationship is on sinking sand. And so we're here this morning in Genesis chapter 24, and we find that Isaac, he was not living with his father at the time, but he was south of Hebron, getting ready to establish his own home, his own house. And Isaac here, he's identified with wells. And just as Abraham is identified with altars. Now, if you know anything about this particular point in time, you know that water was a precious commodity and it had to be guarded very carefully. It had to be used very sparingly, as it were. And the name of the well would be an encouragement to Isaac as he waited for the return of the servant. Genesis 16 and verse number 14, the Bible tells us, wherefore the well was called Belaroni. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And so it has the idea of the well of him who lives and sees me. And so we find that if God took care of Hagar and met her needs, then surely he would take care of Isaac and provide the wife that he needed in order to maintain the messianic line, the messianic lineage down to the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we were talking about, why did God put all these different names in the Bible? And it was to establish that messianic line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, you go through, and especially when you get the First Chronicles and Second Chronicles, there are some names in there that, you know, you just kind of gloss over. You just kind of skip over because they're very hard to pronounce. But they all point to the messianic line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jehovah is the living God who sees everything. He's the living God who plans all things for his glory and the good of his children. Now here, you're there in Genesis 24. Notice, if you would, verse number 63. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63. The Bible says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." And so we see here that verse 63 suggests to us that Isaac, he was a quiet man. He was a meditative man. He was one who pondered the things of the Lord in solitude. That's what Psalm 1 and verse 2 tells us. His wife was more of the activist type. And so as you look at Isaac versus his wife, there would be a good balance in the home. And the two saw each other at a distance, and Rebekah would dismount so she could meet him on foot there. You notice there, verse 64, the Bible says, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And so she gets off the camel, and she goes to meet Isaac on foot. Now, the significance of that is because in that day, it was considered a breach of etiquette if a woman rode a beast in front or in the presence of a strange man whom she did not know. And so she also, the Bible tells us here, she put on the long veil that was a mark of her modesty and her submission. You notice that in verse number 65, "For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." And so we find also that it's significant that Isaac met his bride, the Bible tells us there in verse 63, at eventide. Now that's significant because, as if you know anything, we talked much last year about the term typology, that there are certain things in the Bible that they are a type or a typology of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaac is a typology. He is a type. He is someone that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was the Lord Jesus Christ who comes for his church. It will be a time of spiritual darkness. And so Isaac, he met his bride in the evening. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to meet his church in a time of spiritual darkness. We read about that in Romans chapter 13. And so just as a new day dawned for Rebekah, so also will the coming of Jesus Christ usher in a new day for his people. But then we find here, this meeting involved much more than just the claiming of the bride by the bridegroom. The servant also gave an account of himself to the master's son. Notice there, if you would, verse 66. The Bible says, "And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done." And so we, again, this being a typology of Christ, we know that when Jesus comes for his church, there will not only be a joyful wedding, but there will also be a solemn judgment seat where our words, our actions, our deeds, they're going to be examined. And the Bible tells us that rewards will be given out. But here with Isaac, you ever hear the term, it was love at first sight. Well, for Isaac, that's what it was. It was love at first sight. But then you think about it. Well, what did the Lord Jesus Christ see in us that, he should want us to be his bride? I wake up some mornings and I look in the mirror and I do a double take. It's like, oh, who would want that? Well, somebody obviously wanted it. But, you think of all of our sin and our rebellion and our going against God, rebellious sinners with no beauty or merit to boast about. And yet for Jesus, when he saw us, it was love at first sight. And Jesus loved us and died for us. Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw us for every imperfection, for every shortcoming, for every sin. He saw it. And he still saw us worthy to die for. And so Rebecca had, of course, received a few gifts from Isaac. But now that she was his very own, she possessed everything that he possessed. Their lives were one, and so it is with Christ and his church. And so that's the context that we find us in here in chapter 24, these last few verses where Isaac and Rebekah marry. And it leads us to the consummation of this true and beautiful love story of Isaac and Rebekah in verse number 67. Notice it again. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so we see from this verse this morning, in order, the three steps of love. The three steps of love. The first step of love is, of course, the choice. The choice. You notice there the first part of verse 67. The Bible says, "And Isaac took Rebekah, and she became his wife." You see, what happened here was both Isaac and Rebekah made the choice to marry one another. Before their marriage, they most likely had never met. They never met. There was not much time for courtship. There was not much time for dating. Not much time for feelings to develop. But yet they chose to marry one another because they believed it was the will of God. Now listen, could you imagine, ladies, if a guy who you had never met comes up to you and the first thing he says when he meets you, "Will you marry me?" What are you going to think? And what are you going to say? You're probably going to go try and find a frying pan and smack him upside the head, because that's just not done. Today we have courtship and dating and, getting to know each other and feelings and, all the rest. But here we see none of that. We see that and Isaac took Rebekah and she became his wife. And so a choice was made, a choice to love. And with that choice, we see then came the commitment. The commitment. You notice there in verse 67, the Bible says, "And took Rebekah, and she became his wife, And notice what it says, and he loved her. And he loved her. You know, the number one reason two people give of why they're getting married is, well, it's because we love one another. That's good. But take a look at the order in the verse here. The order was not, well, I love them, and then we got married. No, the love came after she became his wife, and he loved her. And so the love Isaac had for Rebekah came after the choice to make her his wife. This is why so many one day say, well, I just don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. The truth is they take love for granted. And then somewhere along the way, the commitment stops. But we see the commitment to love. And then thirdly this morning, we see the comfort. We see the comfort. Notice there, if you would, last part of verse 67. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Rebekah gave Isaac what no one else could. The comforting feeling that someone, my wife, loves me. You say, what's the point of all of this morning? Take your Bibles and go to John 3:16. Probably don't even need to go there. We probably all know it by heart. But John 3:16, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this morning we're talking about the choice, the three steps of love. Well, we saw it there in the marriage relationship, and now we see it in our relationship to God. Here we see, number one, we see God's choice. For God so loved the world. That was his choice. He looked down and he saw us as what we were, a sinful, rebellious people. And the Lord Jesus Christ chose to love us. For God so loved the world. And then God made a commitment. The Father made a commitment. What was the commitment? That he gave his only begotten Son. Folks, there's not a bigger commitment than that. There's not a bigger thing that somebody can do than to lay down their life for someone. So we see God's choice was to love. God's commitment was to give his Son. And then we see our comfort, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God chose to love us. He did something to prove that love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth. That word commendeth means proved. He proved his love on the cross at Calvary, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there are times that Mandy and I, we have intense moments of fellowship. For you less spiritual people, that means we have arguments. And, you know, sometimes in the heat of the argument, things are said that you don't really mean. And then, you know, you make up. And you know, you make sure you never go to bed angry. And, you know, but, you know, and there may be things that we say to each other that we don't have to necessarily worry about God saying to us. You know, in the marriage relationship, yes, things get said, things are done. But, you know, we work through those intense moments of fellowship. You know, even if she wants to kill me. You know, somewhere on Facebook, there's a photo of her brandishing a knife at me. And, oh, yeah. She's a violent one. And, what's that? She just hides it well. And, but you know, this morning we never have to worry about God saying, I don't love you anymore. Because he always loves us. Listen, just as we have intense moments of fellowship, we have intense moments of fellowship with God. Even after we're saved, even after we're born again, even after we trust Christ as Savior, we still do things that probably drive God up a wall. You know, Mark Lauer, he's a Christian comedian, and he was doing a comedy skit in between his singing, and he said, you know, there's a reason Jesus hasn't come back. He's seen the bride, and he doesn't want to come back yet. And, you know, we talked about babies, you know. Every baby you see is all oh so cute. And, no, there's some ugly babies. And, you know, there might be some ugly brides out there, too. I don't know. Some ugly, you know, some ugly grooms out there, too. Hey, I'm giving it to myself, too. Don't, you know. And, but we don't have to worry about God. For as much as we have to go back and ask for forgiveness, as much as we have to go back and say, Lord, I failed again this week, I sinned again this week, I messed up again this week, the Lord is always there to say, I love you, to forgive us our sins. The Bible tells us in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, this morning, his choice to love us was an everlasting choice. It doesn't have an expiration date. Sometimes we've joked in the past, you know, driver's license, that has an expiration date. You know, fishing license, like, that has an expiration date. Hunting license, that has it. And, you know, sometimes you say, why can't a marriage license have an expiration date? You know, well it does, till death do us part. That's the expiration date. And sometimes Mandy, she'll look at me and say, are you still going to love me in heaven? And I say, listen, the commitment was till death do us part. Once I'm dead, I'm free to date. And once you're dead, you're free to date too. And whatever the case may be. But God's love was an everlasting love. It's an everlasting choice. He never stops loving us. And by the way, that's what marital love is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be an everlasting choice. It's supposed to be an everlasting love. But so often, and listen, our society has made such light of marriage. I mean, you've heard me tell the story. There was there was advertisements along a major highway in Oklahoma City that was saying, you know, quick divorce, cheap. You know, if you need a quick divorce and you need it cheap, call this number. But that's the society we live in today. Instead of sticking with it and making it work and remembering, you know, especially if you were married in a church and you stood before a pastor and you stood before witnesses and you stood before God, and you know, instead of, you know, working at it and fixing it, and you know, no matter how, you know, the times may be rough or the times may be great, I don't know. But, you know, we live in a society where, well, if times get tough, you know, just, you know, call it quits. No, that's not what marriage was supposed to be. That's not what God's love is for us. God's love is a everlasting choice. It's an everlasting love. This account here in Genesis 24, it's more than just some ancient idyllic love story. It can be your love story today. If you trust Jesus Christ and say, I will go. If you already belong to Jesus, then be like the faithful servant and tell others about the good news, about the marriage and the glorious wedding feast still yet to come. Invite them to say, I will go. Love this morning, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by happenstance. Love this morning is a choice, and God made that choice. And I'm thankful this morning he loves us, even sometimes when we're not so lovable. He loves us no matter what. And may we seek to love him with an everlasting love as well. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.